Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, hey, we're going to continue this morning our sermon series on grace. And one of my favorite keys on the keyboard is the delete key. Anybody else like the delete key on their keyboard? Yeah, Chuck likes the delete key. As a matter of fact, I love the delete key. If you did an analysis of all the keys on a keyboard when I'm typing, the one that got used the most, the first one would probably be I, because we're all about us. We like to type I a lot. But the second one would probably be the delete key. Maybe it is the first one. It's the delete key on that keyboard has been a transformative innovation in my lifelong journey. I'm a writer. I was trained as a writer. I'm a broadcast journalist. So I went to school. I'm a communications major. So it's all about writing, and it's all about the written word for me. I write sermons, right? So I have written my entire adult life. I love to write. I love to write. So the delete key for me has just been a game changer in terms of the way you do things. When I was in college, way back in the late 80s and early 90s, when I was in college, prior to the personal computer and the iPads and the little screens we have today that we tap on, we used these things kids called typewriters. All right, we had typewriters. And I remember that Pastor Vicki and I, we both had electric typewriters that we were sent off to college with in our educational journeys. And I remember a typewriter, it was as big as a suitcase, Bill. Yeah, it was an electric typewriter, and I had a white suitcase, and Pastor Vicki had a black one, and you just carried that thing to your dorm room, and you used that to write on, and I used that later in my high school years and in my college years. I had a nice typewriter that got some good use. I remember my mom and my dad taking me to Sears at the Pickle Mall to pick a typewriter out so that I could take it to college and learn how to write. And how different is that now that we write on devices like this? Every sermon I write to you, I don't do it on a computer somewhere. I don't do it on a notepad. Every sermon I ever write is all here. I do it all on an iPad, you know? So this is no suitcase. As a matter of fact, if I had a bigger pocket, I could just fit it in back there. Some people try to do that some of the time. But I'm telling you, as I type, and I type every day, all the time, inevitably, probably at least once every sentence, I will make an error. I will mistype something, and I will need to go, and I will need to hit that delete key to kind of clean it up, clean up my error while I'm typing. With a typewriter, this is a whole ordeal. When you're making a mistake every sentence. With a typewriter, that meant you had to stop typing. You had to scroll up the page. Remember that? You had to kind of like scroll it up. And then you had to take whiteout. Remember whiteout? Oh, yeah. Some of you really, you know all about whiteout. You had to unscrew the top, and it would get all over the place. It would dry up. It would cause dust and a mess everywhere. You put the whiteout over the mistake, and then you'd have to blow on it because you didn't want to type over wet whiteout. And then after you did that, it's all dried. It takes a couple seconds to do that. Then you had to reset it. You had to scroll it back down. And that was really irritating when you got it misaligned, and you made automatically another mistake because you were misaligned. And then after all of that, you resumed typing. Tap, tap, tap. Oh, I did it again. You go back through that process. And now, when I mistype something on the screen and I do it every sentence, I just stop typing and I hit the delete key. I go back, I get that cursor pushed back, my mistake disappears magically. It's like I feel so superior. And then I just start typing again. It's that easy. The delete key, transformative. Can you see how the delete function on your keyboard is an innovation that really saves us a ton of time, and it opens up new doors and new opportunities, especially if you're a writer? And as I think about that delete key is there to erase our mistakes and allow us to start over. Isn't that the definition of grace? We've been talking about grace. Grace is there to erase our mistakes so we don't have to go back to ACE. Remember that last week? And it allows us to start over. So we've been picking apart this concept of grace over the past couple of weeks. Grace is our salvation. Grace is not cheap. Grace is to equip us. Grace is given to equip us so that we can do and be and become the people that God has called us to be. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the reality that grace is meant to be extended. Grace is meant to be extended. Grace, friends, grace cannot be contained. Grace cannot be contained by its very nature. By the very nature of God, His grace is always just pouring out endlessly, endlessly pouring out. The very nature of grace is to reach out, to be extended, to go out. And as it goes out and as it meets people, it draws them in. That is the nature of grace. It is the nature of grace to be extended. As a matter of fact, we see the true nature of grace playing out through the fact that God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to save the world from sin. John 3:16 is the perfect example of grace being extended. Scripture tells us in the book of Romans that before humanity even knew that it had a sin problem, while we were still sinners, Christ was sent to die for us. Before we even knew we had a problem. Now that is grace. Grace, extended grace. It's like the UPS guy or the FedEx guy showing up at your doorstep with something that you need before you ever ordered it. Wouldn't that be awesome? I need Cheerios. And all of a sudden, the knock, 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 ding, dong, pepper barking. The Cheerios are on my front steps. You know, I need a new screwdriver. And I'm looking for my screwdriver, knock, 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 ding, dong, pepper barking. Hey, there's a box. That I didn't even know I needed it. Before I needed it, it was on the way. And it was being delivered to me. That's the nature of grace. Before we even knew we had a sin problem, God was delivering on our need. Grace goes before we even recognize we have a need. Theologians, big theological word, Bill Blaine's here, Pastor Ed knows this in his study, the big academics, they call it prevenient grace. That's a big word, Pastor. That's not a Maplewood word. Prevenient grace. Prevenient is just a big word. It just means to go before. Preview. You're going to see the previews. Prevenient means to go or to come or to be with. That grace that goes before to be with each and every one of us. It's just a fancy word, but that's what grace is. It's extending. It's going before, and it's coming at us before we ever know that we need it. Before we ever knew that we were in sin trouble, God was extending His grace to us, because that's what grace in its very essence does. We've been talking about, we just take grace for granted. Oh yeah, the grace of Jesus. We're digging in here. We're trying to focus in on what grace is and what grace does. Grace goes before. So, okay, Pastor, great. So what does that mean for us practically here at Maplewood as we're living our lives? How should this impact how we live our lives? I want to point out a few ways this morning. And I'm going to get into, I'm going to hopefully just hit a couple practical things this morning that will help us. Since grace is to be extended, that means that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we are all called to be agents of grace in a world full of grievances. I want you to listen to that. I am called to be an agent of grace in a world full of grievances. People love to complain. As your pastor, I want to thank you, because Maplewood's not a complaining church. And, you know, I'm just saying, it happens in the church too. But in our very nature, if we don't have a good experience, we like to tell each other about it, don't we? We people love to complain. We love to make our grievances heard. If I feel aggrieved, I want to shout it to the mountaintops. I want people to know that I was offended, that I was aggrieved. And we'll do that around the dinner table. Have a bad experience, you'll tell somebody about it. Sometimes when we have a fantastic experience, we'll tell people about it too. But if we want our grievances to be heard, either around the dinner table, we'll air our grievances in the public square, whether that's, at work or church or whatever. Get me on my social media channels. Let me tell you about my grievances. Anybody watch Seinfeld? A couple Seinfeld watchers in here. Seinfeld, George Costanza's dad, made up a holiday. It's the day before Christmas, and it's called Festivus. And that is the day they have a Festivus pole, and you go and you stand by the pole and you reach out to the pole and you state your grievances with the world. I just thought it's kind of a funny concept, fake made up holiday. But that just gets to the fact that we as people, we like to have our grievances heard. If we feel like we've been wronged, we feel like we've got a right to air our grievances. I'm not saying there's anything about addressing things that, go wrong or anything like that. I'm just talking about how by our very nature, we need to vent. We need to vent. My dad worked at GM for 30, 40 years. It was a union shop, right? UAW shop. And so he was very much used to the union environment, and that would come back home with him. And in a union shop, for those of you guys or gals who've worked in a union shop before, If you don't like what's going on, if you feel like management's not doing what they're doing, you know what you do? You file a grievance. You file a grievance. And there's a whole process for people to file a grievance to be heard about their complaints. So Pop would bring that home, right? He was in that environment, in that culture where if somebody was aggrieved, they would file a grievance. And Pop would bring that home, and we would come up to him as little kids. This is his little kids. I remember this. Dad, somebody stole my toy. File a grievance. Dad, Julie's making fun of me. File a grievance. Dad, Joe hit me. File a grievance. Dad, someone lied to me. File a grievance. It was a joke. It was a running joke in our household. And because, we, as children, as we were growing up, we felt aggrieved. And we told and we tattled. And Pop's response was, file a grievance, which was usually code for go talk to your mom about it. Jesus calls us, folks. Jesus calls us to turn from being grievance filers to becoming grace extenders. To transform from being grievance filers to becoming grace extenders. From agents of complaint to agents of grace. If you're following Jesus, he calls you into this lifestyle. Jesus, he refers to this extending nature of grace, extending grace to others. He refers to this in the Beatitudes, and we've studied the Beatitudes. We're actually going to spend a little bit of time later this year wrapping up that series. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy, another word for grace. Blessed are the grace extenders. Jesus is saying, blessed, happy, at peace, at shalom, are the grace extenders, for they will receive more grace in their lives. In other words, people will know Jesus followers because they are agents of grace, not filers of grievances. People will know you by whether you are extending grace or whether you're always complaining. They'll know you're a Jesus follower if you're a person who is extending grace. Are you known as a grace extender? I would just a personal grade card moment. I don't want anybody to raise any hands or anything like that. But as the Holy Spirit just speaks to you right now, are you known as a grace extender or a grievance filer by the people around you? If you asked the people around you, Would they say that you're a grace extender or a grievance filer? So what does it look like to be a grace extender? Okay, Pastor, it's a perfectly legit question. I want to spell it out for you just a little bit, a couple of simple points this morning. Grace extenders, they assume positive intent. Extenders of grace assume positive intent in other people. Again, another big phrase. We're going to talk about this for just a couple moments. Assuming positive intent instead of jumping to condemnation and judgment on other people. Grace extenders assume positive intent. Jesus, in John chapter 3, Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus at nighttime. Nicodemus came, he had all these questions. What are you about, Jesus? And Jesus said, I'm not here to condemn the world. I'm here to save the world. My mission is to save the world, not to condemn it. And you're like, where's that in Scripture? John 3, 17. We pay a lot of attention to John 3, 16, and we use it as a ball bat. But Jesus very quickly, when he says God loved the world and he sent his only son, that whoever believes may have eternal life, he said the son did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. He's not here to condemn. So often, I don't know about you, but I find myself, even in my self-talk, watching somebody at a restaurant or at a store or something like that, even in my head, I catch myself condemning other people. I can't believe they did that. Look at what she is wearing in public. Look at what he's wearing in public. You know? It's that kind of thing. I find myself, and it bugs me. It disturbs me that I find myself in my self-talk when I'm just in my life. It bugs me how frequently I find myself condemning people in my head. That is not Christ-like. That is not Christ-like. When we stack that type of attitude and action up against Scripture, it's just not like Jesus. How are we doing in this space of not condemning people, assuming positive intent? What was it about Jesus that he came to save us rather than condemn us? What was it about Jesus that he came to save rather than to condemn? I think it has something to do with the fact that as the master grace extender, Jesus inherently in his very nature sees the positive potential in each and every human being. And wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't this world be changed for Christ more dramatically if the people who claim they're following Jesus would stop condemning people in their mind and start viewing people through the eyes of Jesus Christ? Amen. I'll be your hands, I'll be your feet, but we want to be his eyes too. And to see people for their potential rather than where they're at right now, stuck in their sin sickness. A lot of the time we condemn their sin sickness and we fail to see the spiritual kingdom potential in people's lives. Jesus, he looked past the sin and he saw the potential in sinners. Now he wanted to do something about their sinfulness, but at first, in order to engage somebody, you got to see the positive intent in them. Jesus sees the potential in people. Not just in humanity, Jesus sees the potential in you. And you might say, I'm worthless. I'm a dirty old washcloth, as Pastor Vicky was talking this morning. You may feel that way. Jesus sees the potential in each and every one of us. He sees what we can become in spite of our flaws, in spite of our failures, in spite of what we're lacking. We know we're becoming more Christ-like when we begin naturally giving people the benefit of the doubt. You're like, ew. We know we're becoming more Christ-like, church, when we are naturally giving people the benefit of the doubt when we interact with them rather than rushing to judgment and condemnation. What kind of world would this be if our faith were more defined by extending grace than casting condemnation, even in our hearts? Sometimes it's out there on Facebook, right, or on the television, and we're preaching condemnation and spewing condemnation all over the place, and Jesus is like, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. And I need you to be a person that's not out there condemning. I need you to be a person that is seeing the potential in people, assuming a little innocence, giving them the benefit of the doubt, seeing how they could be used for your kingdom. But pastor, they're living in sin. You know what Jesus says to that? Jesus would say, I get it. Your job is not to judge. That's somebody else's job. That's not in your job description as a follower of Christ, to be the judge and jury for people who are living in sin. Jesus says, not your job. It's your job to love them in spite of their sinfulness. How else will we reach the world? Amen. We've got to get past it. Judgment will be taken care of, Jesus says, in due time. But that's out of your hands. Trust me. Do you realize that when we decide to judge people in our own minds, we're actually, that's an act of not trusting Jesus? We're demonstrating we don't trust Jesus to judge, that we're going to go ahead and do it anyhow? Judgment. When we find ourselves getting judgy, that is not Christ-like. Do you find, let me ask you this morning, as you're sitting here, as you're listening online, do you find it easy to give people the benefit of the doubt? Or do you find yourself rushing with a critical spirit into condemnation? Do you find it easy to see the potential in someone, or do you write them off as too far gone to be saved in your eyes? How are you doing on that front? We are called to be grace extenders. Grace extenders. Extend that benefit of the doubt. See the positive potential in people. Grace extenders also are all about second chances. Grace extenders, we're becoming people who are all about second. Everybody appreciates a second chance, don't they? We all love a second chance. In the game of golf, you mishit a ball, you're like, oh, I missed that up. I'm not going to go look in the forest for that thing because I shanked it or hooked it or something like that. You pick that ball up, you put it back on the tee, you say, I'm taking a mulligan. I'm taking a do-over, a second chance. A mulligan's the delete key in the game of golf. If you think about it, followers of Jesus are all about hitting the delete key in our own lives and for other people. When we fall short, when we mess up, when we make a mistake, when we fall down, Paul says, get up, press on. Get up, press on, hit the delete key. Hitting the delete key, taking a mulligan's all about cleaning the slate, starting over, even when it's not deserved. That's extending grace. That is extending grace. This seems really hard to do, especially when the mistake or misstep has harmed you or someone you love, or maybe you've harmed someone that you love. It's really difficult to forgive ourselves. Jesus is calling us to be grace extenders. Forgive yourself. That's exactly what Christ has done for us on the cross. The cross is a symbol of second chances. The cross is all about granting second chances. Without the cross, we all know we'd be doomed to an eternity without God. Amen. Without the cross, without the second chance, we would never be able to be made right and righteous. We would never be able to be made holy so that we can be enjoying a relationship in the presence of God. Without the cross, none of us would be able to fulfill our full potential in our lives. Without the cross, we'd be stranded. We'd be stranded in our sinfulness. It'd be like being stranded on a desert island out in the middle of the ocean with no way to get off, no way to communicate, nobody else around. You want a picture of hell? Not talking about fire and brimstone. You know what hell will be for those who are not in Christ? It will be an eternity of isolation. Isolation will drive a human insane. We need interaction with each other. We need interaction with our Father in heaven. Hell will be separation from God. Without the cross, we'd be stranded. But thank God that in His great wisdom and mercy, He sent His one and only Son to pay the price, that we might have a second chance. And we've done, just get this straight here this morning, we've done nothing to deserve this. We've done it. We can't do anything to earn it. We can't work in the church or do good works outside of the church to earn God's grace. Not deserved, can't be earned. It is only by God extending His grace to us, giving us a second chance that we get that second shot at life. And that leads to my final point this morning. Grace extenders are gracious people. Grace extenders are gracious. A gracious person is fully aware of that from which they have been delivered. You hear me this morning? This is some deep stuff. If we're gracious, we actually understand that from which we've been delivered. A gracious person has 20/20 spiritual vision. A gracious person, they see clearly what is going on. They understand what God has done for them. And a gracious person has this acute appreciation for their spiritual condition, and they realize that the only possible response is to live as a person of gratitude, to live as a grace extender. I was given a second chance. Now I must become the extension of the second chance in my life. A gracious person is deeply grateful. Grateful for what has been done on their behalf. Grateful for a second chance. Grace extenders are gracious. And graciousness comes out as humility. Humility. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom of the earth. They will inherit the earth, right? Grace extenders are humble. Humble people put others first. Humble people are just, you go ahead. I'll take the last place in line. Gracious people say thank you a lot. Gracious people know how to sincerely say thank you. Gracious people are generous. Gracious people get that they've been given to, and so they want to give in multiple different ways in their life. Gracious people are led by love in everything that they do. Quick to forgive. Quick to give thanks. Quick to give a helping hand. Quick to extend the second chance. Delete, delete, delete. Grace. Extending grace is all about becoming like Jesus. As a matter of fact, as we learn to extend grace in our lives, and this is hard to do. This is undoing how we've been brought up in our selfishness. This is the walk of holiness with Jesus Christ in our life, becoming extenders of grace. As we learn to extend grace in our daily living, we are becoming like Christ. Did you know that? Grace and holiness, a life of love, are directly connected with each other. In Luke chapter 18, just to close this morning, typically I'll begin a sermon with a scripture, but I'm going to end the sermon this morning with some scripture. In Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, we read this story. Luke chapter 18, verse 35, as Jesus approached Jericho, important words, a blind man was sitting along the roadside. Here's a blind man on the outskirts of Jericho, desperately in need of a delete key in his life. He's been blind. Blind. It says this blind man sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." In other words, when they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," they're like, "Hey, look out, a wave of grace is coming this way. Grace is rolling down the road towards you, blind man, in the form of Jesus of Nazareth." So here's this man in bad need of a delete key, and grace is coming his way. And in verse 38, it says he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he didn't just say it once. He was saying it over and over again. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way in front of Jesus in the crowd around him, they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. The people around him, they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy." Grace Extend your grace upon me. Man in need of a delete key. Grace is flowing his way. And the people all around him aren't grace extenders. They're grievance filers. Grievance filers. They weren't interested in this man gaining access to grace. They were interested in having the front row seat so that they could get the grace all for themselves. Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Jesus, he hits the delete key in this blind man's life. The letters that had been typed onto the page of this man's life spelled out blindness, isolation from the world. But Jesus, the embodiment of the extension of grace, hears this man's cry and assumed positive intent. He extended the benefit of the doubt to this loud, blind man who was disturbing everything. He extended the benefit of the doubt to this man. He saw the potential in him. And with a quick stroke, he hits the delete key and he begins typing a new story in this man's life that includes healing and vision and the ability to live a normal life in this world in relationship with God, being able to see. Immediately, the man received his sight. And in verse 43, it says he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, when all the grievance filers saw it, they were amazed and were praising God also. Do you see, church, how extending grace works? Jesus is extending his grace into our lives. That wave of grace is coming down the road. When we cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy," he extended his grace into our lives. He wants to extend his grace into your life. Seeing the best in people, not the worst. Being people about giving second chances. Mulligans. Pass them out like they're candy. Don, candy. Pass them out. As we become extenders of grace, as we learn to become extenders of grace, we are literally learning to become what it means to be holy people. People living in holy love, imbued by the Holy Spirit into our hearts and extended to others. In closing this morning, grade card time. How are we doing when it comes to becoming extensions, agents of grace in our circle of influence that God has given us responsibility for? Do we lean towards extending grace or casting judgment? Do we lean towards granting second chances or condemnation? Are we gracious in the way we live? Do people know that there's just something different about us by the way we live? Or are we found lingering among the grievance filers that pepper this world? Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we can't do it on our own. We can't become grace extenders. If you're like, "Pastor, this is a hard message. I don't know if I can do this." What I want to share with you this morning is you can't do this. You can't do it under your own power. You're playing a game if you think you can do it on your own, and you will only build frustration in your life if you try and try on your own power. We need a power outside of us to come into our hearts and transform us from the inside out so that our spiritual DNA is actually transformed so that we can become extenders of grace. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be given permission to come into us and to purge us from all that grievance filing, all that condemnation, to cleanse us and clean us up and begin transforming us from the inside out so that we can become grace extenders, so that we can become people of love, so that we can become holy people, agents of the kingdom of heaven. And I have a sense this morning, just as I've been talking here this morning, as I've written this message this week, I just have a sense that God wants to move in a fresh and a new way in many of your lives. And the only thing holding God back from moving in a fresh and a new way in your life is you. We're hungering for a new movement, but are we really willing to surrender and allow Him to come in and purge us of anything not Christ-like so that we can be made like him, so that we can become Christ-like. Has God been speaking to you about this recently? If he has, don't run away from his voice. Come to him. Come to him.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.